Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into Five on the Floor live here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. This is almost a historic day for the Miami Heat. We want to get to it. Before we do, I do want to introduce a new sponsor specifically of this particular episode, our friends over at Harry's. You've ever spent too much money on something and not got the results that you wanted, like, say, paying for Jaylen Brown and watching him miss free throws down the stretch, you got to check out Harry's. This is where you can get affordable razors that are also great to use. So check them out, harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5, and you'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, check it out at harrys.com/5. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Speaking of shaving, the Heat have now shaved the deficit in this series. They're 1-1. They were 14.5-point underdogs in game two. They were outscored 14-0 to start game one. They were being mocked around the country. Kendrick Perkins of ESPN said that if the Heat made all of their shots, they would still get swept. They did not make all of their shots tonight. They made enough. They got Boston fans to leave early in their own building with their perfect freaking team that's supposed to cruise to the finals. And we said it all year, or at least I did. The Celtics are not winning a championship. They're not. Their top players are not cut out for it. And here's the biggest thing I took from tonight. We will get into the specifics of Spoelstra's coaching. We will get into the Rock Esports player gamer of the night. And to me, it's Tyler Hero, so I'll just give that away early. This is the biggest takeaway. They're not fucking afraid of this team.
Nope.
They do not respect them as men. They don't. I said that on Playback tonight, and we thank those almost 200 that were with us on playback.tv/5RSN. They respect them as a basketball team, but it's what Tyler Hero said prior to this series. They're the best team on paper. On paper. He made sure to say that. They're not afraid of this team. They're not afraid of their coaching. They're not afraid of their top two stars when it matters. They have no fear of them. They're not afraid of that building. They went out tonight and played with maniacal energy. From the start. Up and down the roster. Led by their coach. And we've said it. He's a psycho. He likes this. He likes this. He likes not having everybody. I swear, if he could literally remove three players from the roster and try to do this, he probably would. And the idea, again, that people were calling him a dirty coach and Code Reds and Brian Scalabrine, where the hell is he tonight? He's just a great basketball coach. That's it. Does not mean he's perfect, but he's a great basketball coach. And he gets his players to believe in what he's doing. And this, to me, we can talk about great wins in Boston, okay? Closing them out in game 7 last year, right? Which was, dominating them, right? From start to finish. That's another reason. They're not afraid. They're not afraid. They just did this up there. With Jimmy, yes, but they did this. Or go back further, okay? LeBron James, game 6, 2012. Look at all the moments they've had in that building over the years. And to me, this is up there with them. Whether they win the series or not, this is up there with them because they gave Heat fans tonight a moment that was completely unexpected. We've talked about, like, what is this season going to be remembered for other than injuries? Well, now you have a moment. Before we get to the Rocky Sports Gamer of the Night, which we will, Greg, your just thoughts on the whole thing tonight.
The most improbable Heat playoff victory I can remember. I think every Heat fan has to feel like you just wanted to get one, right? And you got one. And now you head back home. And who knows, maybe now you can get greedy. And that's fun. That makes this fun. That makes it worth making it to the playoffs. There was discourse about, are they better off being a lottery team? I think we can put that to rest after a night like tonight. You see, guys, just the mental fortitude to get down in the first game, come back this game, respond the way that they did, play through stretches where Boston made runs. They end up gutting it out. Just, it's a banner performance. Now they head back home 1-1. And it's a series. You know, a series doesn't start until the road team wins, and the road team just got one done.
That's actually Pat Riley's expression, and I've never understood that expression, because a series can end with no road team winning. It has happened where teams, all the home teams
win. It just never started.
Whoever's exactly. The home team, right? In Pat's mind, it just never started. But there's another Pat phrase tonight. Okay,
that Bucks series in 2021 never started.
Never started. It still has. We have it. It's still going. Apparently, all the players are still. They're still on the floor. Before we get to the Rocky Sports Gamer of the Night, there's another Riley phrase that I prefer. The playoffs tell. Okay, and the playoffs have told you a lot about some of these guys. All right, Jaime Jaquez. You don't trade that guy. You just don't. I think whatever the mistakes are that he's going to make during this period of time. Like, he is cut out. He is a 16-game player. Draymond Green has talked about that. There are 82-game players, and there are 16-game players. Jaime Jaquez's game is built for the playoffs. His mentality is built for the playoffs. And that three he made at the end of the game, again, the weakest part of his skill set, which he is still developing, to make and take that shot. And we'll get to some of the plays of the night. I've liked a lot of what I've seen from Nikola Jovic in this series also. Again, not perfect, mistakes at the end of the first half, you know, the turnovers, that kind of stuff, but I've liked it. And, you know, I'll say this, we keep coming back to him. I feel like, you know, Caleb Martin, it's just been such a roller coaster here. But then this performance tonight, like, and you're like, okay, now we understand kind of what we've seen. But we're going to get to the next guy, because I think we've had questions about the next guy. And those three words, the playoffs tell. Alex, roll it.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN. You get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
Brady, and I'll let both Alex and Brady get in on this, because we were talking about it on playback. When Tyler wants to play a certain style of game, he plays it really well. Like, and I just thought the demeanor, the mentality tonight, you know, the three-point shooting, but additionally, the reads. He was really good with that stuff. The rebounding, okay, from the beginning of the game, he was attacking the defensive glass, okay? Like, he made that a point. And he's always been a good rebounding guard, okay, for somebody we talk about not being physical enough. And then you look at the defense. I thought he was good tonight. I thought he was good. I thought he competed. I don't think he was huntable tonight the way he has been in the past. And I just thought some people are tweeting at me that this was his best game since playoff game since the bubble. And I guess so, right? Like, because there hasn't really been another one. There are others saying this is his best game for the bubble, since the bubble. I don't know about that. But I don't know. I he was A-plus tonight.
I don't think that's a crazy thing to say, that this is one of the best games we've seen him play in a Heat uniform. Like, that's how far I would go. In terms of the stakes, in terms of the game plan against him to absolutely eliminate him, like, that is Boston's game plan at this point. And bigger than anything, because I'll get into the scoring part, 14 assists. Like, the passing that he was putting on display, the fact that he was – I mean, I don't know if he ended up with one – did he have one turnover? Or he ended up with three, but he had one for a good portion of the game. he was running out of blitzes and doubles and having to see that type of attention and making skip passes, making those quick reads. You mentioned the Jaime three, the one right before it, the Haywood three, both of those assisted by Tyler Hero. Why did Caleb Martin start getting going in this game early on? Why did he start getting catch shoot threes? Oh, it was because Derek White pulling off of Caleb Martin to help on Tyler Hero when he was coming off the screen. They are putting so much attention on that man that they had to make an adjustment. And I kept saying it. They had to make the adjustment, number one, to play him more off ball, which they did a little bit of. But he's still – the impressive part to me, he still found his pull-up pockets. Like, when you put him off the ball, it doesn't mean he has to stand in the corner and take spot-ups. Like, it's about making him – putting him into secondary actions, making sure he's not just dribbling the ball down the floor, bam, comes, sets a screen, and he rolls through it. They kept kind of putting him down into kind of slip-outs and finding a different ways to get him going. And just the ability to just – put all of that in perspective and just do that with the passing, with the scoring, and make those reads, as you said. And down the stretch, look, he didn't have a two from the majority of the night. He was just kind of said, like you said, when he knows his role, what it's going to be, he focuses on that. And you saw what he did. Like, even if he had opportunities to maybe roll into a pull-up two, he worked that step back three, that left way step back three a ton just because he wanted to hunt that shot. And then late in the game, he got the 1-2. An important two, probably one of the most important shots of the night, where he drove and kind of hit it off top of the glass, kind of put them out of reach. But just a masterful game. And the reason he's the, like, we're going to talk about these other guys, like young guys deserve a ton of credit. Caleb deserves a ton of credit, but who was the guy putting them in the position to score? Who was the guy that, what was the reason they were open? Tyler Hero. And the last thing I'll say, cause you mentioned his defense. Cause I know early on, people were complaining about him being on an island and this and that, and he held up at certain points. Yes, he got scored on because he's – like, we know what he is at this stage. Like, if they're going to put him on some of the toughest wings in the league, they're going to get their fair share of buckets. But the Miami Heat made an adjustment. They gave Eric Spoelstra over 48 hours of time to make adjustment into game two, and he pretty much said kind of what we talked about before. You make this Boston Celtics team become an isolation team. You do not let them work, you know, double, work into ball movement, because that is when they're at their best. That is when the offense is peaking. You make them dribble. Jason Tatum can have 40. Jaylen Brown can have 40, but it does not matter. You make them play that type of game, and that's what Miami Heat did tonight. They really made that adjustment to kind of just not send as many doubles, make those guys hit tough shots. They made most of them, and it still did not matter. So credit to Tyler Hero, but credit to Eric Spoelstra.
I don't usually do this because usually when we do the play of the night or the gamer of the night, we have one of you guys going. But Alex, you were focusing on this so much on playback and what Brady talked about too, the waiting to take the twos tonight, right? Like that seemed intentional, correct? Like just in terms of his approach.
I think so, man, and I think we've seen pockets of this from Tyler before, like where his 3-point volume goes up and we're all like, yeah, Tyler, keep doing that. Like, cause it's like what Brady said, I couldn't have said it any better. Like being off ball doesn't mean, you know, lower usage, you got to sacrifice. No, it just means put yourself in a better position to make an impact. And like knowing Tyler's faults and limitations, it just makes more sense in my opinion. And has for a while to have him come off ball. And I think he's more dynamic that way. And we've talked about it before. It's the same way that you bring Duncan off ball. It's not the same action, but you bring him off ball and you have him, you know, do his thing because you're generating offense. You're getting the defense to scramble, to panic, to think. And I think Tyler does that. And I think if you're just running pick and roll over and over, you're going to get like, you're not going to get the results you want because they can kind of just prepare for that and jam that up. But if you have him running around all over the place, they don't know where he's going to pull up from. You know, if it's a good screen, he can find an opening and take the shot. And if you get him, you know, if they're playing in a deep drop, if you get them to adjust and come up higher to the level, which they did a couple times, then the pocket pass becomes open. You're playing a 4-on-3. It's a similar thing to the stuff we talked about Duncan in the past. Like they're not the same player. Tyler's more dynamic, obviously more creative as a scorer. And, you know, but I think you can get a lot out of Tyler off ball and you saw it tonight. And I just think it made his read so much easier. I think that's part of the reason why his passing was so crisp. It's like, you get the defense to react in the first place and you play off of that. That's why you get him off ball. You're getting him you're still getting a ton of shots, a ton of usage. You're making it easy for yourself and the team. And I think, you know, a lot of it results in more threes because those are kind of the shots that the Celtics are giving up. more often than not is those, you know, you come off the screen and that pull up three, you know, whether off a handoff or whatever, it's going to be there a lot of times. And like I said earlier, you get them to react and play up a little bit higher. That makes it easier for other guys to get finishes around the rim. So I think this is just probably the best way to use Tyler. And honestly, I think it might be that, you know, just after you said that, I think it is his best game in a Heat uniform. Like throughout all the stakes, you know, all of us counting him, and not specifically just us, but in general, like all of us acknowledging that he's in a really bad position. I was really hard on him about that and saying, like, you know, he's probably not going to have great results because of the position he's been put in without other guys there and where he's going to have to take too much of a heavy load. And tonight was the perfect Tyler Hero game for what you wanted to see versus this Boston Celtics team under the circumstances. I mean, he almost could not have played better. And so, you know, you got the game where the team made a bunch of threes, right? You match kind of what they did last game. That's the one part that is, you know, you can't rely on that every game, but they were generating a lot of great looks. And so that's all process stuff. The process was way better today. You know, like Brady said, on the defensive end, they kind of like, we weren't the only ones to bring up these adjustments. They kind of used all our adjustments, right? Like,
but they did. It really was the kitchen sink thing. Like what we talked before the series, this is not the same way that you had to coach your usual series, Greg. Like yeah. It is to you and I got into this beforehand in the preview episode. It wasn't like, okay, you're saving this for game three or for game five or for game seven, and you're kind of looking at the length of it the way that Jimmy sort of looks at a series. Is he, when he's processing it beforehand and he's studying it, he's like, not everything is shown early. This series, it was just throw all the bleep at the wall in every game to get one.
And then record in threes. Like, you can't also, like,
right.
You needed a little bit of luck on your side.
You did, but Greg, but I think what Alice is getting at here is its process, right? Like, so right. The threes came out of the process. It doesn't mean you're going to make all of them, but if the process is good, you're going to be in better shape. And also, I look on the other side of this, and I noted this at halftime. It was all Brown and Tatum. I would rather for Miami it be all Brown and Tatum, okay? Because, yes, they were efficient, 23 of 43, but they've had this problem before, and I'm going to give Brian Windhorst credit for this because he's hit on this all season long on his podcast and on ESPN. When it's all Brown and Tatum and it's all threes, at the end of the game they get stagnant. That's where teams have come back on them this year. And I look at the rest of their box score. Porzingis, 1 of 9, okay? Drew, who, by the way, and I know how badly Miami wanted Drew, but he has been really inefficient offensively in the postseason the past 3 years, okay? He was 2 of 8 in game one. He was 4 of 12 tonight. Hauser, who killed you in game one, he just made 2 threes tonight. He was 2 of 5 overall. Horford, 2 of 3. Pritchard did not attempt a shot. So Derek White was 5 of 8, okay? You'll take that. Like, I'm okay. I know Alex had to hit on this, but, you know, I want to go to Greg on it, but, like, I'm okay with Tatum and Brown taking 43 of their 80 shots because then other guys are not in rhythm when it matters. Ball stops. And I get what Alex is saying on playback. Well, you don't want them to get easy ones. I understand that. Like, they shouldn't be wide open. But I'll take the shot distribution defensively that Miami got tonight from that grade.
Absolutely, especially as the game progresses and it gets late, because I feel like that's when you see the fruits of that labor really show itself. Like, they freeze up late, and it's like playing take turns, and that's exactly what you want. You don't want the ball whipping around and having to try to defend that. So that is a key point, and it'll be interesting to see the adjustments that they now make as they head to Miami to try to combat that, because you know that they're going to try to get those guys moving around and in more space so that they can try to adjust. So it'll be interesting to see the chess match, but this was a huge Eric Spoelstra game. I think we should acknowledge that part of it too.
Well, that's the most important thing you said though. Like, if this series is going to be a chess match, Miami has a chance, right? About talent, they have no chance. But if it's a chess match, I'll take the pieces that Eric Spoelstra is playing.
I think now it's about, like, you know, working it from here, because of course now the Celtics have a whole game of film to look at, right? And they obviously did a bunch of things different. Like, there was no doubling out of the zone like there was for stretches last game, which was terrible. There was no swing easy decisions for Tatum and Brown to make, seeing the same look over and over again. they used Jovic on Porzingis, and he looked great there. I thought Jovic had a fantastic defensive game, other than like one early Derek White bucket. I thought he played a fantastic defensive game, contributed on offense outside, you know, despite the turnovers. He had a really of a roller coaster of a game on offense, but he still did his thing, right? He used every single one of those adjustments that we were talking about, like less zone. I mean, it was all there. I think this is, to me, night and day, offensively and defensively from game one. Like, and now it's how do the Celtics adjust to it? How do you adjust to their adjustment? All that. But hey, Spo set the tone with the game plan tonight.
But Alex, I want to say this. We'll get to the play of the night. I don't think it's about the Celtics adjustment. I don't fear for Miami a Celtics adjustment. Spoelstra's going to outcoach him every game.
Yeah, he just overwhelming him with talent.
It's just if their talent is just too much. Missoula can tic tac toe this up, whatever he wants to do. It ultimately comes down to, do Miami's players feel overmatched? Okay, and if they don't, they can compete in this series. I picked Boston. We all picked Boston. Absolutely. We all picked Boston. This is not a fair fight talent-wise right now. But we'll get to the injury report later. If Miami injects a piece in here somewhere in the next couple of games, then things look a little bit different. Let's get to it. I'm just curious to see which you guys picked because there were so many tonight. Let's go to the play of the night.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
Who wants to take it? Because there are a few. Brady, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go, but I'm going to cheat a little bit because I don't think it's one play. I think it's the type of play, and it's Bam tough jumpers because we could see, because I think he's not going to get enough credit tonight, and he deserves way more credit in this game for what he was doing defensively. Yep. For the we're talking about the adjustments that they made, but the fact that they can absolutely execute that because of this guy, because they can move him around the chessboard a little bit. But the biggest thing offensively was like, okay, Tyler is absolutely cooking. They're letting Bam go one-on-one no matter what. Now they're throwing doubles and blitzes at Tyler. And it hit a certain point in that game where kind of around the fourth quarter mark where I was like, okay, it feels like Miami's almost baiting Boston into this and saying, okay, Bam's just going to get a bunch of mid-range jumpers here in a few. Because it felt like that pocket pass was available. They were not really hitting it a ton. And he just kept getting to there. And he kept shooting over the top of them. And these shots, like, we just, like, take them for granted, I think, when you watch these shots. The degree of difficulty on most of the Bam's shots that he takes in that mid-range, the shoulder fakes into the fadeaways, like, he is taking deep, tough fadeaways over the top of these guys. Lengthy defenders like Porzingis shooting over a 7-3 guy with ease. I don't know if they win this game without that. I know we could say that about a lot of things, but in terms of executing an offensive game plan and trying to keep up with the shooting on the other side, you needed that because usually they start with Bam. It's okay. We're going to get Bam going, and then we're going to get the threes going. We're going to work our kick game. Then we're going to get to our sprays. This was the opposite of that. This was them just coming out absolute fired from three. And then they're like, okay, now we could settle it into Bam and let him get going. And I think that's important in the playoffs. You need to have a little bit of versatility and creativity to your game. You got to be able to roll with the punches a little bit. And it seemed like they did that. They kind of went with the flow. They were shooting well. And to be honest, let me just say, because I know we're talking about the play, but we cannot overemphasize the shooting in this game. Like, we were looking at the disparity last game where Boston, all they did was shoot threes. And we're like, how is Miami keep up with this? Well, they limited that, but they also just shot at an incredible level. They ended up shooting, 54% from three on 43 attempts. So they got to their 40 attempt benchmark, which is always they want to get to, and shot 54% on those. So, like, as much as I could sit here, and I was talking before saying Tyler deserves a ton of credit for attracting the defenders and making those kicks. Credit to the guys for making the shots, because that hasn't happened a lot of times. Like Haywood, Jaime, Jovic, some very tough contested shots from Jovic at the start of both halves.
You just forgot one guy, which I want to get to here, but you're right. 23 of 43. Also, Bam, I worries me when he spins left for that mid-range shot, but he made it. He made it. I mean, he's gotten predictable spinning right, so he's got to spin left sometimes. Let me go through the three-point shooting numbers, because there are a couple of these that just jump the hell out, okay? First thing, they shot 23 of 43 with Kevin Love, who's been a good three-point shooter for them, playing only 6 minutes, okay? And he seems like it's a tough matchup for him in this series, and did not attempt a three. Duncan was 2 of 7, okay? Bam missed his only one. Here are the numbers on their other three-point shooters. Hawkins, 3 of 6, including a ballsy one. from the right wing late in the game. Jovic, 3 of 4. When he sets his feet, his release is always the same. They have trained his release to a point now where I think that's going in. Every time feet set, he's fine. When he's got to move a little bit, not yet, okay? But when his feet are set, it's in. Haywood Highsmith, 3 of 5. He had a big one tonight in the fourth quarter, okay, when things were starting to slip.
Run
a little
stopper.
Bit. Run stopper. He's made those shots consistently. I thought DeLon Wright was good again tonight. He only had 1 of 3 threes, but good again, 20 minutes. Just sign him up for next year. Let's just lock that in, okay? If he wants to come back, and we're talking about the minimum, you just roll him back. Okay, that's it. He's proved himself in this series. Playoffs tell. He's in Heat shape now. All right. Hero, 6 of 11. Only 1 of 2 from 2. We talked about that. But how about this number? All I saw on Twitter today was how Caleb Martin's shot is broken, right? There was this clip of him with Hawkins shooting, right? I don't know what the hell Caleb's doing with his shot from minute to minute now. Like, we talked about him getting rid of the hitch, and then the hitch came back, and now I don't even know what that was, okay? It's like he's shooting from his hip, he's stopping, he's doing all the rest of this. He went 5 of 6 from 3. He went 5 of 6 from 3 tonight, okay? They are scared to death of him up there. I don't know who's more scared to death of Caleb Martin, Heat fans or Celtics fans. Like, you just don't, you have no idea at this stage, like, what you're going to get. Like, he dribbles the ball in the front court. No, no, no. We're all like, no, 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 no. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Then he made that ridiculous reverse tonight
at the rim. He finishes with 21 in 36 minutes. It's like he is. He's like the ultimate no yes player at this stage.
The Celtics are scared of him. Let's just call that out.
Right? They're afraid of him.
But can I say the funniest part about that was when they were making comments that when Caleb said if the situations were flipped and Caleb was the one that got taken out, they're like, he's like, well, nobody would say anything. And they're like, well, you're not at that level. Nobody would care to take you out. Well, if they took him out last year, Boston Celtics might be in the NBA Finals. So he matters. Maybe he matters a little bit. Maybe. I don't know. That just felt like a backhanded thing.
No, it did. I mean, the man has his own pizza, Mr. 01. I ordered it the other day. It's really good, actually. If you never had hot honey on a pizza, which I hadn't before that, it's not bad. Alex, let's pivot a little bit before we get to the injury report tonight. So how do we think this is going to play now for the next few days? I mean, they don't play again till Saturday, right? We know what ESPN is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be all about the Celtics.
They beat themselves.
They beat themselves, right? The Heat were not even on the floor.
Why do they keep doing this?
Why do they keep doing it? Jaquez. They're going to call him Jaquez and Jovic, okay, right? Like, that's what you're going to get from Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Screaming A. Smith and all the rest of this stuff, right? Like, that's what we're going to hear about in the game. They probably think Jimmy played. I'm not really sure. They'll still put him on all the promos. But they're going to hear it. Like, we've talked about this before in the series. Like, this, like, to prey on Boston's downfall is to prey on them mentally cracking.
Yep.
Like, that's what this is. It's not a talent thing. It's just, like, they're soft, honestly. They're going to hear about this for 2 days. They got to fly to Miami.
I completely get that. And this is what we were talking about the other day when you were trying to lob me up with, like, potential things that they can do. And, you know, I was trying to – you know, I tried to warn everybody at the top. Like, I'm not saying that they can win the series, like, none of that. But being overmatched doesn't, you know what I mean, doesn't mean screw the details. Let's not even bother trying. And the Heat showed that if you get down to the details, you know, you play a disciplined defensive game plan that matches the opponent and you execute it better than them. And then you get hot from three. That's how you win a game. You know, doesn't mean they're going to win the series, you know, hitting 22 threes every game. None of that. But, you know, you asked the question, how does it move forward? And obviously that's what we've got to look forward to, right, is how do they adjust from here? And, you know, I guess the things that you can point to, right, is, like, you had such a great offensive game, right, from the team. Like, you finished with a 112, actually 113 half-court offensive rating, the Celtics 100. And overall it was 122 to 108.6. So, I mean, the Heat completely outplayed them. You held them to 40 points in the second half, which to me is the biggest key. I'm always going to say that, right? Like, limiting their half-court defense. That's what they did tonight. Got out-rebounded by 10 last game. Won the rebounding battle by one tonight. So you kept it about even, right? I still think there's some upside on both ends of the floor. They're not going to play that great of a shooting game again, but I think you can get more out of Jaime than you got tonight. I think I was looking at his shooting. I think he finished 4 of 13, and it felt like he had a better game than that. I'm not saying he had a bad game or anything like that, but I think – you know, they were ready for Jaime's attacks this game. And I think now one of the things you can do is try to find him a way to get him some post touches. I think they know that the attacks are coming. And I think you got to switch it up a little bit. Try to see if you can run some, you know, off-ball screens to get him a matchup, get him down low, and get him in that position in his office. Because, yeah, I love when he's attacking. The rim pressure is great. But I think that's a way that you can kind of add some diversity to your game a little bit. And then the other thing you mentioned, you guys were, you know, talking about it before with the shot diet that the Celtics got. Completely with you guys. I love the adjustment from Spo. I love that it's, you know, let Jaylen and Tatum kind of get most of the shots. Don't let them play make all over the place. And kind of they went away from their principles a little bit. They were still playing aggressive help defense and still doing their thing there, but they weren't over helping, which I think you can get away with versus certain teams and certain stars. I don't think with the way that the Celtics are built now is something that they can get away with. The only guy that they were really helping off of consistently was Drew, which I'm good with at this point. Like, Drew's not a terrible shooter, but he's like the one guy that it feels like is not knocked down for Boston. Cause even Horford is like knocking down all of them. It feels like, and Porzingis didn't hit one tonight, but that's obviously another guy you don't leave open. I do think there's some upside even with that game plan, right? Because you held Tatum and Brown to 23 of 43 from the field, which is above 50% combined. I think they could shoot worse than that. I think you can hold them to shoot worse than that. And even though, like, obviously a lot of it is partly the game plan because you're leaving them one-on-one more often, you know, with some help, of course. But I think there was some breakdowns. There was times that they got to the rim and they didn't play a perfect defensive game. They played a much, much better one, in my opinion, than game one. But, like, the Celtics got 24 shots at the rim, according to Cleaning the Glass, 16 last game. I think if you can get it back down, it's closer to that number. It's not as many breakdowns. There was a couple of easy baskets there. I think that's where the upside is. You know, what really stands out about this outside of their shooting is combined Jalen and Jason, 4 assists to 6 turnovers. That is completely night and day from game one, where Tatum alone had 10 assists to 3 turnovers last game. So I think
what about Hero alone had 14 assists to 3 turnovers? I mean,
amazing.
You talk about making plays and taking care of the ball, and it just everything we're talking about tonight. And we appreciate all the comments and everybody. Anyway, we've got more than 1,100 on the live stream right now, so greatly appreciated. After we had 200 on playback, so obviously there are Heat fans out there apparently. And I believe they will be there on time on Saturday night. It's 6 o'clock, and there's no rush hour. Well, it's Miami though, but yeah, still, but it should be better. But Greg, I come to this, and we do this every year. We criticize certain things that Spo does during the year, right? This rotation, why is he not playing this guy? Why is he not playing that guy? But I think Eric Spoelstra would have been the greatest college coach of all time.
Oh yeah.
Right. Right, not just relating to players, but literally, like, just, I mean, NCAA tournament, you got to scheme up one game. This is why I said treat it like the play-in game, right? Just like, and it's like he is in his element right now. He's going to throw things at him on Saturday. Now that he knows he's got them on the ropes mentally a little bit,
yeah,
they're gonna. That's where he's, I was he's, going. Right? There's certain guys he's going to try to get in their heads. What does he do on Saturday night?
I feel like it's some of what you saw tonight, but just try to be even more crisp on the twos and keep Hero and Bam as the focus. That has to be the focus there. I think that they can't shy away from that. You're not going to shoot that well from three again. So this is about Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo leading that group, but they're not scared of Boston. Spo knows they have a mental advantage against Boston, and I think that he'll use that to his advantage as they head back home.
I just think this is huge for Hero in particular. I just think this is – he can play the whole bravado thing, right, and what he thinks – you know, where he thinks he ranks in the league. He hears all of this, right? He's talked about how important the playoffs are, and now he's got one under his belt where, like, he played – Tatum and Brown played at a high level for most of the game until it mattered, and Tyler Hero was right there with him tonight. And you can't, I mean, even those who have been critical of him, they can't take that away from him. He played big in a playoff game on the road in Boston. He and Bam, that pick and roll that carried them, and Bam does deserve credit. And it is crazy. I will not eat Papa John's tomorrow, Broham. I see that in the chat. No, sorry. Mr. 01, I will order that. And I'll get my Harry's razor. But they with a pick and roll, but also it is crazy that we wait until the 22nd minute to mention Bam. So he was really great today, and he anchored everything. All right, let's get to it because there is a wrinkle that could throw into this. Alex, the injury report.
And now it's time for the official 5 on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
All right. So I was obviously not in Boston today. I don't believe I misheard this, although it didn't get as much attention as I thought it would. Terry Rozier did say that he's going to play in the series, correct? Did you see that?
He said there's a chance of it.
He said there's a chance of it. Okay. So that's where we're at. Now, we had said that he would not, he did travel with the team. We had said that he would not be available till game 3 at the earliest, but it doesn't mean he'll be back for game 3. So I'm not banking on it. I don't know if tying the series at 1 changes that at all. I think they're going to be careful with this regardless because it's a neck injury. We talked about Duncan. Credit to Duncan for gutting it out, by the way, because he's still not 100%. But, I mean, he was out there, and he – tell you, Duncan's feisty. Duncan wants to go at all of them. He went at Tatum today, kind of slapped the ball away. We've seen him go at it with Jaylen Brown. You know, he's doing what he can out there. So, again, credit to Duncan because he's not the same player he was prior to this injury. And as he said, he's not going to be until an extended break. But let's get to Rozier. Again, not counting on him being back for game three or game four. But if he is, Brady, what does that look like? I mean, you've got Caleb in the starting lineup. Do you remove him for Terry or no? Just bring Terry off the bench?
Man, it's a good question. I think it depends where they're at in the series. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I mean, if they're in a situation where they're down big in the series, he's starting. If they have a good flow later in the series, I mean, there's no reason not to, unless they want to bump Caleb, I think, if anybody, to the three just for defensive purposes. But, I mean, the biggest thing here is, either we talked about it before, the thing that worried us in these games was, like, if it's a tie game with 3 minutes left, are you going to be able to pull it out? And it was like, that was what was worrying you in this game, but it never got to that point. It never got to, like, that point late in the game where they always kind of kept chipping ahead and staying. That was so important in this game. I cannot say that enough, how important those shots were late in the game to not make it a close game, because they just simply don't have the same options that Boston does. But that's going to be the biggest difference, I would say, for if you bring Terry into the fold, is having that ability late in the game to still have that creation. And I think the biggest thing, it would be, either you said it, I think it was the other day, where you said you wish Jimmy was healthy so you could see what Jaime could do in this position, like in his normal position. And it's not Jimmy coming back, but it somewhat puts Jaime back in his usual role, where he doesn't have to dribble the ball down the floor, where he doesn't have to initiate every single action, where he doesn't have to be the one to set up Tyler coming off that secondary action, or run so many pick and rolls, or run into the body of Porzingis, where he's like trying to generate every single pay touch at the top of the offense. So, like, that element of it is important, just because if we're talking like actual adjustments that Miami's going to have to make, because Boston's going to make an adjustment now right back in game three. Now, I think they're still going to overplay Tyler. I still think they're going to do certain things to try to recover a little bit extra, maybe on that weak side, to try to just play up and make sure you're there. The biggest difference that Miami's going to have to make is they're going to have to control that baseline. Like, that is what they're going to have to do. That's the adjustment to Boston's upcoming adjustment. And you need Jaime in his regular role on that baseline if you want to really make that happen. Like, that's what you're going to need. So I'm not saying Terry's coming back game three. I don't know if he comes back at any point. Like, I don't have much, like, I'm not planning on it. Like, I don't expect it, I guess. I think it's kind of an add-on at this point, because it just seems like everything that they're pointing toward is he's just not ready, it seems. So, but I will say that will be an important adjustment. It's just, if you can have any ability to put Jaime, take him off the ball a little bit. I know we talked all season about giving him more usage, but I think it hits a certain point where Boston's also going to get a little scouting report on him. They're going to build up that little scheme a little bit and say, okay, he likes to do this. He likes to put his head down here. You just put your hand straight up, make sure you don't foul. Like, they're going to start building that stuff where you have to make sure you maximize them off ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing some of the comments where you don't mess up a winning team. Look, if Terry's ready to go, you give him minutes. I mean, that's where I'm at. He adds a different element to them, but starting is a different question. You know, you could bring him off the bench and still play DeLon. And I just, you know, again, before we go, I just want to give DeLon deserves a lot of credit, man. Like, this is not an easy thing he's been put into. And then the 7 DNPs during the season, he's playing behind Patty Mills and Spo ramping up his minutes as he got into shape. And I mean, he played 20 minutes tonight. He gave them a little, you know, now we talk about it and we made fun of it, or I made fun of it after game one about, well, that cosmetic run at the end for Miami and DeLon's threes and all the rest of that. Maybe that gave them a little bit, you know, you never know. Like, sometimes there is carryover from one game in a series to another. Like, okay, like, we fought at least. He helped them fight. Yes, go ahead.
I have to interrupt with something that is important. Jimmy Butler's latest Instagram post.
Was it in the Kendrick Perkins? It should be.
I'm going to show it here on my phone in a second. I don't have the picture here on StreamYard, but it's a picture of Jaylen Brown with Jimmy Butler's head photoshopped onto him. With the quote, "Don't let us get one."
Ah, there you go. Don't let us get one. What did anybody notice? Jimmy posting his first. We did notice his first sort of rehab video today. I don't think he's coming back this series, but I think he's going to make him think he is.
I think he's going to make him think he is. I think that absolutely some psychology there from Jimmy.
I forgot to throw the caption. The caption of the picture for Instagram. Feeling cute, comma, might delete later. Psych, I ain't deleting shit.
Might delete later. Oh, what is he, J. Cole now? See, you guys didn't think I'd get that reference. Anyway, on a night that Caleb Martin, J. Cole shouldn't have deleted that track anyway. On a night that Caleb Martin goes 5 of 6 from three, we got to mention him. All right, so just to set things up here today, first thing, sign up for Discord, $2.99 per month. Chat with us all day long. As we've said, Mike Ryan of Levitard Show has declared that he's ending Heat Twitter. So come escape with us on Off the Floor. They're chatting there right now. Again, $2.99 per month, and you get 10 different channels on there. We will have podcasts the next 2 days. Playback.tv/5RSN. Playback.tv/5RSN. Make sure you check that out. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at 5 Reasons Sports. I guess I went viral with this one. We'll close here. If the Miami Heat make all their shots, maybe they won't get swept. Huh, Kendrick Perkins? See you tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.